ready? Here we go.
The Hit Breakfast Show.
All right.
Australia, meet your new McCafe blend. Smooth, rich with a hint of sweet berry. It's coffee fit for an Aussie.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, everyone. What time of the day is it appropriate to start thinking about what you're going to have for dinner?
Oh, as soon as you wake up.
Yeah,
it's like the best part of the day and you just look forward to it. And I think it's good to have goals.
So it's Thursday today and we prep like meals for the first few days of the week, but then anything could happen by the end of the week.
Really?
Totally.
So I prep the whole week.
Do you do the whole week? Mm. So we're only prepped up until Wednesday because Friday's takeaway night.
Right.
But it leaves Thursday wide open for whatever we feel like.
Interesting.
And I don't know what I feel like right now. So
burritos? No?
We had burritos on the weekend. Just going
lamb chops.
Yeah, I'm thinking some sort of red meat on the Weber.
Sausages.
This is a really boring way to start a podcast.
I'm just giving everyone dinner ideas.
Everyone, I swear, what's coming up, it's going to get better. So please hang around.
This is Guidance Gabby.
This is where you can write into us on our socials. Send us a DM at Cliffo and Gabby on Insta or Facebook. And we get everyone to give you some guidance. And then I claim it as Guidance Gabby. But the question today is...
You're very good at this.
This is a very interesting
like
one.
Finding other people's content and then...
And making a moment.
Labelling it as yours. But hey, it's good for the show, so...
It's good stuff.
I don't call you out on it usually.
This one is a super interesting one though. Because it's about marriage. Okay. Dear Guidance Gabby... I'm 34 and have been with my partner for 4 years. I thought we were on the same page and we're on the road to marriage and babies, but he recently told me he doesn't believe in marriage. Okay. I'm pretty traditional and don't want to have kids if we're not married, and for legal reasons, I think it's really important too. Plus, my parents would not understand if marriage was off the table. How do I convince him to marry me? And this one's from Kim.
You can have extremes when it comes to marriage with people. Like, I got a mate, Glenn, who's just like, he's been with his partner. I call his partner his wife.
Right.
Never married. And he's just like, no, marriage is stupid.
It's just a piece of paper.
Stupid.
I've heard people say it's just a piece of paper.
I've had arguments with him because I love being married to Michelle. I love it.
It's
I know
nice.
What it is. There's something between us. I love her being my wife. I loved our wedding day. I love everything about it. I love that I wear a wedding ring. I love that symbol. I love everything about marriage. I think it's great.
Declaring your love in front of all of the people you love in your life is a beautiful moment. But also, I'm really excited for the party that goes with getting married and having everyone
there.
There's
not much negatives when it comes to marriage.
Kim makes a really good point as well when it comes to legal reasons. Like, it's so much easier legally if anything were to happen or with kids and stuff if you do have that piece of paper. But the question is, how do I convince him to marry me? That's the question she wants to know. Because if you're not on same pages, it is going to be very difficult moving forward, isn't it?
What does she do?
What 13 do?
10 60. Give us a call.
Did
she say her name? Kim.
Kim. How does Kim convince her partner to marry her?
Or can she not? Like,
Is that something that you can't convince
no
someone
No way
to
convince someone. Like, if it's a no, it's a no, it's a no. But 13 10 60, give us a call. Maybe there's someone out there that's had this sort of situation before where there's been, you know, one person really keen on marriage and
the other not. What do you do? How do you move forward in a relationship if you both have different ideas of marriage?
I don't know, Kim. Like, I don't know. What does she want? She's asking, how do I convince
him to marry me?
I just don't know if you can, mate. Can a leopard change their spots, you know?
13 10 60.
Help out. Like, can Kim do this, or is she just barking up the wrong tree? Like,
is she fighting a losing battle?
You're only 34, Kim. Lots of years ahead of you, mate.
Oh.
Is it possible, Brooke, to convince someone to marry you if they don't seem keen?
I mean, maybe, but I just think she needs to stop doing wife duties on a girlfriend wage.
What does that mean, Brooke?
You know, don't do their laundry, don't remind them of bills they need to pay. They'll soon figure out how useful you are and how much they need you.
You're drawing a pretty broad stroke there, Brooke.
I'm never going
like
to be
that.
Doing
I do all the bills in our house and most of the cooking.
Nev does all the cooking. We do our own washing.
Maybe you just have a good.
Maybe, I don't know. I think you've got it bad, Brooke.
I'm never going to be doing those jobs.
13, 10, 60, Mike's here. Hey, Mike.
Hey, mate, how are you?
Good, Mike. What do you think? How does Kim convince him to marry her?
No, I just believe that some will, some won't. So what? So move on, you know. Yeah. There's an age saying, you know, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So he needs to either man up or, you know, and stop thinking about himself and, you know, think, put her first.
Yeah.
Make her feel like the, you know, every woman wants to feel like a princess, you know. So
I don't see what his big deal, like, and I don't know, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but, like, it seems like it's really important to her.
Mm.
Absolutely.
I'd go along just...
Just make her happy.
For example, so my wife comes from a Catholic upbringing. I don't. Our kids go to a Catholic school because that's very important to her.
And you were like, eh. And so you go with the person who's the most passionate about it.
100%.
Yeah.
It's important to her, so we did it. 131060. Hey, Stacey.
Hello. Good morning.
Good, Stacey. What do you think? What's your advice for Kim here?
Don't do it. If he needs convincing, then it's not worth it because if he's not on the same page now, you're likely never to be on the same page. So I know couples that went the untraditional way and, you know, they're very, very, very happy and over the moon. And they did it later, like they had kids and they got married later. But then, you know, being a traditionalist, you do it because that's the way, you know, it needs to be done or it should be done. And you will never be on the same page. So, you know,
looking
you can sort of convince him,
So but, your idea on this is if you're not on the same page, it's not going to work, so you may as well cut your losses now.
Yeah, pretty much.
What a hard
pretty
choice
much.
For Kim to have to make.
Because you obviously love him, Ooh, toughy.
Oh, Kim, I don't know if that's been helpful or not, Dar, but, yeah, we tried.
Hopefully you find your path forward.
Big love, Kim.
Oh, my God, how good is it? Not only is the Olympics coming back to Australia, but it's going to be here in Queensland, and we are pumped. Coming from a kid who was desperate to go to the Olympics when they were in Sydney in 2000, I am so excited to have it here in our beautiful state. And you know what? I think someone who was at the Sydney 2000 Olympics can tell us more about it and have a bit more insight. We welcome gold medalist Michael Klim to the show. How are you, Michael?
Good morning, guys. I'm really good. I can tell in your voice that you're super pumped and so am I. I mean, obviously, having the games on home soil is just enormous.
I actually got really emotional yesterday when they were playing all the packages and the pitch to get it to Brisbane. And then when Brisbane won, it was just, And I'm the same as you, Gabby. Like, I was a kid who I wasn't even at the Sydney 2000 games. I just watched them through the TV and it just meant so much
so
to me.
Good.
But you won gold twice at the Sydney 2000 Olympics, Michael Klim. Tell us, what does it mean? Like, what does the Olympics mean for a city, for a state, for a country?
Look, I think there's much more than just the sport. Obviously, there's the economic benefits of having such an enormous sort of event and people coming to visit us. But it just proves, you know, not only that we can run great sporting events, it's part of our culture. I think everyone just gets so immersed in Olympic Games. We saw that with Sydney that, you know, even the corporates, the public, everyone just wants to be part of it. And it's, luckily, we're, you know, we always tend to put on great events, and it's not by coincidence that we've had, you know, three Olympic Games in less than 100 years. So it's just a credit to our nation.
It is. It's amazing. And you, Michael, performed, or I guess competed, in three different performed.
I performed after I competed. Yeah.
Gabby, mate. So it always comes back to the stage for this girl.
It does.
You
competed in three different Olympic Games, though. You are an incredible Australian swimmer. What was the different vibe you got to competing in Australia compared to competing in another country?
Oh, like you just can't, you're competing in front of your family and friends and supporters and volunteers. It's just, you just can't even compare it to the other two. So, you know, being able to look up in the stands and seeing your mum and dad and, you know, in tears or whatever it might be. But it's, and then, you know, having that sort of, even walking through the streets and having volunteers clap you, clap you and things like that. So it's, I think that support, you know, it also can be a bit of a curse. You have to be able to manage that expectation and things like that. But I think that overwhelming support can be something that leads the athletes to just, you know, an amazing experience.
I'm actually excited for the, like, not even for the athletes now, but for the 9-year-olds and the 10-year-olds in Queensland.
Totally.
You know, the kids who are in primary school now who are listening to this going, I could be competing in the Olympics in my home state.
They can be working towards this.
They're going to be the 20-year-olds, the early 20-year-olds or whatever when the Olympics roll around. So it's just so exciting for them. Michael, quickly, before we let you go, we have to ask this question.
Yeah.
There was a lot of talk early this week about the anti-lovemaking beds in Tokyo. So the bed bases are made out of cardboard to prevent bed hopping.
Yeah.
Is there really that much action going on at the Olympics, Michael Clem?
Well, look, I think, you know, I think the Olympics are all about bringing people together and, in more ways than one. So I think it's, so I think it's obviously, you know, and I think there's a lot of joy to be shared. So I think there is a lot of sharing going on.
Well, there's a lot of joy to be shared in this state right now, but for very different reasons.
Oh, you answered that so lovely.
So well. Brisbane 2032, bring it on. Not the first time he's been asked. Michael Klim, he's won 6 Olympic gold medals, competed in 3 Olympic Games and 2 in Sydney 2000, which I will remember for the rest of my life. Michael Klim, thanks for celebrating Brisbane 2032 with us this morning, mate.
Thanks for having me, and yeah, go Brizzy.
Gabby, the other day, talking about how she asked Nev to not bring foods into the house.
That I'm not allowed to eat.
That you're not supposed to eat.
That I'm trying not to eat.
And if he does, hide them?
Yeah, so I can't see them, because if I don't know they're there, I don't want to eat them. That's the whole premise behind it.
It was a great philosophy. It kind of came unstuck the other night when you were giving him a kiss goodnight. Have a listen, guys.
And when I kissed him, I was like...
Oh, you've got the taste.
I was like, you've got mint slices. And he's like...
God, and you even narrowed it down to, like, that's not a mint patty.
It's a mint slice.
That's not an after-dinner mint. That is a mint slice.
It was a mint. And I'm like, how long have you had those in the house? And he's like, well, what are you talking about? I don't have anything in the house. And so now it's all I can think about.
It's actually very impressive.
That I could narrow it down.
Picking up the exact food that Nev had eaten through kiss.
It's a skill.
It's a skill, mate. And I'm calling Nev right now because I've got an idea. Nev, you there?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, mate, how are you?
How's it going? Good.
Good, mate, good.
He's just on his work site.
Nev's just tradie, everyone. We are calling him probably peak time of them. Nearly be Smoko Tom, though, wouldn't it, Nev?
Not really, not yet.
Okay, right. Had any mint slices this morning, mate?
No, not yet, not this morning.
No sneakies? All right. I had this idea, guys. I think it's so fascinating that Gabby could taste on your mouth through kiss, Nev, what you had been eating. So go with me, guys. Is there an opportunity here to play a game of kiss testy?
Kiss testy?
Yeah.
That sounds so dirty.
It's what I've got there. I've put the words together, kiss and taste test. So I came up with kiss testy. What I thought was we could get Nev to eat some different foods, probably foods that you like, Gabs, and then you give Nev a kiss.
And see if my skill is actually a thing.
And see if it was just a fluke, like once off for the mint slices, or if you can taste other foods. I would offer maybe another bloke to do it, Nev, but I think since you two are engaged, you're probably the man for the job.
Yeah, I think I can handle that.
Yeah, right.
You can handle just sit there and be kissed. Yeah, it's not a tough job.
There's this guy in the wings, Chris Hemsworth or something, his name was. Put his hand up to do the job. Nev, is it something, would you be happy to come in, say, tomorrow and have a game of kiss testy and to see how Gabs goes?
I don't mind doing that at all, as long as I'm not eating that dodgy gluten-free food.
Nah. Gabs is gluten-free.
No, because I don't have to ingest it. I just have to taste it on your mouth, so it doesn't matter if it's glutinous.
Won't make you crook.
Yeah. This is a way for me to enjoy the foods I'm not actually allowed to eat. This is great.
I promise you, Nev, there'll be no gluten-free foods, mate. just a whole lot of loving. All right. So we'll lock that in for tomorrow morning, guys. All good?
All right.
Yeah?
I'm up for a smooch.
Our first ever game of Kiss Testies.
The Bachelor, it's back, baby, and I'm loving it. It started last night. First ep where the new Bachelor, Jimmy Nicholson, actually got introduced to all of the girls that are going to be vying for his attention. It's always an interesting start to the season. And Jimmy joins us right now. How are you, Jimmy?
Good morning, guys. I'm great.
Now, you've got 23 women vying for your heart. Were you expecting it to be as full on as it was on that first night?
Look, I was expecting big things on the red carpet because there always is. But it's not until you're standing there and you're on the receiving end of it all that you realise this is a crazy experience. But yeah, watching it back, I saw a lot of stuff that I didn't see on the night. So
interesting.
I'm sitting on the edge of my seat eating the popcorn as well.
So you actually found love through this process. You've been very open about that and you're still with the girl. Are you watching it together? Because I would find it very uncomfortable to watch my partner date 23 women on TV.
We're not watching it together. Okay, no, great. Unfortunately, we can't because of everything that's going on at the moment. Yeah, but maybe it's a good thing as well.
Yeah,
it's sort of outside of the reach.
I think it would be. Because if like past seasons of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette are anything to go by, it's like when we're all 13, like there's a whole lot of passion, but it kind of ends there. Like a lot of pashies, a lot of snogging, it kind of ends.
Yeah.
Can I ask you, like, do you pash multiple women in the show, and will that be awkward for your now partner to watch back?
Look, I think all of the girls coming into the show, they know what they're getting themselves into, and if I was to go on The Bachelorette, you know, you know what's going to happen. So, the important thing is just you focus on each other and what you've got now, and like, hopefully we can have a laugh about it because we're pretty rock solid, so I think we'll be fine.
That's a yes. It's going to be a pash fest.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's a bit of a pash fest.
Great.
Yeah,
yeah. Love it.
Jimmy, I had to ask you about something that did happen on the red carpet last night because I've had nothing but amazing thoughts in regard to your character. You seem like a really genuine guy. You even revealed on the project last night that you broke your contract so you could tell your ex you were going on the show out of courtesy to her. Like, you seem really lovely. However, there was a girl.
However, that seemed like a pretty bloody big however.
One of the girls brought her chihuahua to meet you on the red carpet last night. And I always say that a dog knows how to judge a person's character. And this dog did not like you. It tried to bite your hand. So now I'm questioning everything.
Awkward.
Big Lenny. I know. He's a vicious little beast. No, look. I'm very close with my dog, and I actually think I'm pretty good with animals because I generally know how to approach them right without. Apparently it's palm down to approach a dog, but I think I was a bit caught up in the moment. And I kind of went at him, so
right.
Yeah, he's a big fella. He's just protecting his mum. the funny thing is, Lenny doesn't have any teeth. Like, he's literally got no teeth, so it didn't hurt.
He literally tried to bite your hand off.
But Gabby, they're good judges of character, these dogs. So I'm going to be watching you closely, Jimmy.
Yeah, as long as his mum likes me, that's all that matters.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy, you seem like the perfect package. Jimmy the Pilot, he's the new Bachelor. It started last night. It does continue tonight, 7:30, only on 10. Good on you, Jimmy. Wishing you nothing but love and luck for the future with your new partner, mate.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Love this chat.
When you were young, say like, primary school age.
Oh, yeah.
What was the cool in fad toy of choice that just comes to your mind straight up?
Obsessed with Furbies.
Good one.
I saved all of my birthday money to buy a Furby because they were expensive.
Yeah, Furbies were huge.
Yeah.
How things have changed. The toy at the moment that, gauging by my kids, because that's all I've really got to go off, it's pretty hot right now. It's a toy called Gotta Go Flamingo. Have you seen the ads on TV?
I think I know. Gotta Go Flamingo.
This is on TV all the time. They put it on in the afternoon. It's like
when kids are watching
cartoons and stuff are on.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is the ad for Gotta Go Flamingo. Listen.
It's Gotta Go Flamingo.
Gotta Go. Gotta Go.
He eats and he poops.
Gotta Go.
Quick, the toilet.
Flamingo.
Out now for Moose.
Brooke, have you seen this?
I have. It is hilarious.
Yeah. Okay, so
I love it because I relate, because at least once a day I say, uh-oh, I've got to go.
Gotta go.
So that's the idea, right? Got to go flamingo. It's very pretty looking flamingo.
Very pretty.
But the idea is you feed got to go flamingo this mushy, pellety stuff or whatever, and he poops out golden turds. And my kids are just gross. So enthralled by this.
Like, oh my God, it poops. I need to have this in my life.
I think number one, kids love a catchy jingle.
They and do, you know, you're right.
Oh, gotta go. Yeah. Like, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But number two, I reckon kids are like fascinated with, well, I just reckon they're fascinated with their bodies and how you're they right. work. Like, poos, pees, spews, all that sort of stuff. It's real interesting to kids. And this, if you think back, like baby born.
Oh my God.
That was around in the 80s.
I wanted a baby born so
when
bad.
When I was a kid.
My mum got me a cheap doll because she thought that it would be enough. And I was like, this one doesn't poo, mum. Why would I want this?
But you remember too, that there was that baby born. There's a jingle and everything.
Oh, that was good.
Got me thinking, because I reckon this is the thing. I reckon there's a market for toys that poo and spew.
Definitely.
Based on this idea that kids are interested in bodies and how they work and stuff.
It's good learning for them.
So 131060. Add to the list, we've mentioned they got to go flamingo and baby born, but have you had a toy that poos or spews? Let's add
snots?
To the list.
Is the there snots? Was there any snotty toys?
Oh, there would have been.
I'm sure there was.
Yeah, little boys love snots. Snots are awesome. just think about it. 13, 10, 60, because I reckon there's a real market for this. I reckon you can hone into the psychology.
I think you're right.
But add to the list, have you had in the past a toy that poos, spews, snots, any body functions
any
or whatever,
gross,
any of the gross stuff.
Bodily function.
Add to the list, 13, 10, 60. Hasn't got to be your toy from when you were a kid. Maybe you bought a pooing, spewing, delightful toy for your own kids or as a gift or something.
Or maybe they're just really enthralled by one and they want it.
13, 10, 60.
It's gotta go flamingo.
Oh, gotta go.
That's gonna be stuck in my head now.
It's got to be more than got to go flamingo. 13, 10, 60. Maria's here. Maria, what do you got for us, mate?
I used to have a doll called Baby Alive.
Baby Alive, I mean.
It says it in the name, doesn't
really
it?
Really says it in the title there. Yeah. What did Baby Alive
this was
do?
In the 70s.
In the 70s? That was probably pre-baby born then.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what did it do?
You just feed it, so you get food with it, and you feed it, and it has nappies, and it poos, and you have to change its nappies.
It's such a marketing genius idea, isn't it? Because then you've got to buy extra food and nappies to continue playing with the toy.
And also you're sucking young children in with something they know about. Like young children know what changing a nappy is because it happens to them and they see mum do it. And kids want to mimic everything that people around them do. So there's a lot of psychology and marketing in it. You're so right.
Yeah, definitely.
Les is here right now. Les, what was your toy that pooed or spewed?
Oh, mate, I had like this thing what had hairy underarms and it's like had a distinctive smell and it was rotten. It was like this toy used to be like a hard thing, but you squeezed it.
Yeah.
And when you squeezed it, the distinctive smell would appear.
Oh god.
Like a BO smell or a fart smell or just a bad smell in general?
No, it was a very like oaten smell, like if you had if you farted or something like that. That's what the smell would be, honestly. Like,
I love that you called it a thing as well. Like, it's not, it's not a,
I don't know,
a baby or
the good folk, the good toy makers at Mattel have a lot to answer for that one. By the sound of it,
it's gotta go flamingo.
You've actually made gotta go flamingo sound desirable. It's possible. 131060, Gail's here. Gail, your toy that pooed or spewed, mate. What do you got?
No, it used to blow bubbles.
Blow
bubble gum.
Why was it gross?
Hole?
Okay, hard to explain, but it used to have a little balloon that went into its mouth.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you pumped its arm, it used to blow the bubble up.
Just
blow the balloon up.
Out of its mouth?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, out of its mouth, Cliffo, not anywhere else.
If it went
I'm
out of
its... I'm just trying to work out why some it's other gross, orifice. Gale, that's all. Don't like how you assume, like, Cliffo, oh yeah, he's the guy who blows balloons out his ass. That's the guy, right?
Cliffo and Gabby's Naughty 640.
Can you handle what I'm about to do?
Yeah. Another one. Volume 40, we're getting up there.
40!
40.
Naughty 40. Nice.
So this is where I write about being a husband and a father and just write about family life. Always from my wife's perspective, I write superbly as a woman. And I write...
superbly about yourself.
Erotic fiction style, superbly about myself. It's a bit like a 50 Shades of Grey. And it's
and you're
based
Christian.
On... And I'm Christian Grey. It's based on our Lamington Crusades this week to steal back from New Zealand the world's biggest Lamington title they took from us. And as part of that, we went to the CWA.
We did.
Heard it just before the videos were at our socials. But I actually got to take a completed Lamington home after we made them to eat after my lunch.
Yes.
That's where the story picks up.
Right, okay.
Naughty 640, volume Naughty 40. His warm, sticky hole is moist and ready to be filled.
What?
He licks his lips after the first course is devoured. A mayonnaise stain from the chicken sandwich he just inhaled adorns his left pectoral muscle. But something sweeter his hole now craves. Into his awaiting orifice, he jams mouthful after mouthful of CWA Lamington. Dense, rich and moist on the inside, but light and supple on the out. Delectable sweet flakes of desiccated coconut shower his dark-coloured T-shirt, giving him a manly, dandruffy vibe. He doesn't let this affect the devouring. His confidence, like that, really turns a girl on. After jamming and cramming, gobful after mouthful, he does what he does best. He licks his lips, lets out a sigh, and backs it up with a piss trough-style deep belly burp that would wake the dead. Lamington gas aromas fill the air. And I thought the smell of black licorice was supposed to be an aphrodisiac. Where have you been all my life, Lamo burp? Where have you been?
I am sorry, but it's not believable that your wife would enjoy your Lamington burp.
I'm going to be honest. A little creative license is used here, but I'm going to run with that.
That was Cliffo and Gabby's podcast. Australia, meet your new McCafe blend. Smooth, rich with a hint of sweet berry. It's coffee fit for an Aussie.